song of Benny Goodman, the King of Swing. And swing is what Monitor is all about this evening. 3 hours devoted to the music of the big bands and the men and women who made that music. Now, if you're a faithful listener, you know we've done this twice before. And the mail and telephone response was so great, we've decided to do another one. In the years between World Wars I and II, the big bands were the favorite forms of entertainment in the USA, and they were an important item of export, too. Since most of these bands played for dancing, their listeners were physically as well as emotionally involved. Each big band was different from the others. Each one had a personality all its own. Some tried for a strictly commercial style, the mass audience, and others gambled on creative musicianship and original sounds. Now, one of the innovators was Jan Savitt, who started with a studio band at a radio station in Philadelphia. His trademark was shuffling rhythm, built around a piano playing double time, and his band featured a young Negro vocalist named Bon Bon.
Buffalo wander, free as the eagle flying. I'm a roping and a tying, a roping and a tying. Give me my ranch and my cattle, far from the great city's rattle. Give me a big herd to battle, for I just love herding cattle. Give me the wide open spaces, that's just where I know my places. I love the rodeo dearly, also the big roundup yearly.
El Rancho Grande, Jan Savitt and his Top Hatters, who, by the way, at one time had a girl singer, later a movie actress, named Gloria DeHaven. Another band leader who loved to experiment with different combinations of instrumental sounds was Artie Shaw, who formed groups ranging from his Gramercy Five to a 32-piece outfit that did some very successful recordings. In between, this one displayed his virtuosity on solo clarinet.
Thank you.
softly as in a morning sunrise, Artie Shaw. Well, ahead I'll be talking with the king of swing himself, Benny Goodman, the daddy of them all. We'll hear some of his marvelous music, too, so stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon. This is Monitor saluting the era of the big bands, and I'm your host, Art Ford. And as I said, I'll be talking with Benny Goodman in just a few moments. You know, part of the Goodman genius was the ability to attract first-class musicians to play with him. And the proof of his success at doing it is in the number of men who later emerged as leaders of their own outfits. For instance, two of the sidemen on this next number we'll hear were Harry James on trumpet and Gene Krupa on drums. And dominating the whole thing, of course, is the unbelievable clarinet of Benny Goodman. Sugarfoot stopped Benny Goodman and his orchestra as they sounded in 1937. One of the nicest parts of the Benny Goodman story is that he's still making great music today. And so, without further ado, let's meet the man himself. Benny Goodman, welcome to Monitor.
How are you, Art? Nice to talk to you. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, indeed it is. For me, it's a privilege and a pleasure. Would you kind of equate jazz today? Is it in a healthy state in other parts of the world? How would you sum it up right now?
Well, that's kind of difficult to say, Art. I think it depends upon the individuals in the bands, I think. For instance, Count Basie is doing an awful lot of playing these days, very successfully, all over the world. So is the Duke, and so is Woody Herman. I think Harry James is. For myself, I just get back from Australia.
Which is the favorite country for a band that really responds to its music and lets them feel it?
There's no difference. I think if you give a good show in Australia, or Germany, or Scandinavia, or Japan, the audience is the same. I think primarily because they know your records, they know a band's records, they know what to expect, and they came because they want to hear you play, and they want to hear you play what they want to hear. So it's all very gratifying.
Some people say, why don't the big bands come back? Is it possible today to put together 20-odd musicians who will play in ensemble with the same spirit they did in those days? Or are the kids today too much individualist, too much, you know what I mean, not able to work in that large a group, but able to work brilliantly in small groups, as in rock?
Well, I think two points. First of all, many youngsters want a small group, as you pointed out. On the other hand, there are an awful lot of bands playing in schools like North Texas Lab Band. I don't think it's impossible, just a question if somebody will do it or not, that's all.
An awful lot of effort went into finding your original crew.
Yes, any band, I think.
Would you do it again? Could you do it again?
I don't know if I can stay up that late.
You were kind of a genial, even though you were a very young man, father figure to the kids at the Paramount Theater here in New York and all across the country. And I wondered how you felt about them. Did they bother you when they waited outside the stage doors to get the autograph of Benny Goodman?
Well, I suppose it's a love and hate thing, isn't it? You love to have people admire you, and on the other hand, you don't like to get caught up in the crowd signing autographs after you've been playing for 5 hours. Kind of tiresome. It was very simple for me, but all I had to do was take off my glasses, and I was incognito. You see, I just walked right out.
Not quite. Is the clarinet a much more difficult instrument for a young person to pick up than the most of the instruments that they play today? Is it a tough instrument?
Well, it is, but you'd be surprised how many youngsters are playing clarinets now. I don't know if they're playing it in jazz, but in schools and colleges, you name it, there are more clarinets sold now than ever before in history.
Your energy is fantastic, Benny. It had to be, because after 50 years on stage, you're still going strong. And I see no signs of it letting up. So what's ahead? What do you see in the immediate future for Benny Goodman?
Let me see. I'm going to New Orleans next week, and then I'm going to Long Island. I'm going to play at the Rainbow Grill here. And we're also going to do a few dates with the original quartet, with Teddy,
wonderful.
Jean, Lionel. We're going to play Ravinia Park and Saratoga, and possibly at Newport, and that should keep me fairly well busy.
The mix of Lionel and Teddy and you and Jean was one of the nicest, warmest things about that era. It broke all the barriers that sometimes are social headaches today. And it was so silently, we never knew it happened.
We just got along, you know. We got along everywhere. We still do.
All America understood that, too. And I think it had a profound effect on a lot of young people. Without ever having been stated, it just was there.
Let me tell you, Art, if we'd have been too conscious of this thing, you know, if we'd have been sort of what you call
projecting,
angry, we'd never been able to play. One has to be relaxed if you want to play. It's tough enough just trying to play.
Well, is there an ambition you could have at this point that you haven't achieved? Could you want to write a book, write a musical? You can't appear in a picture because they already made you a life story.
You have your son of Benny Goodman, you know.
Son of Benny Goodman, that's right. I never thought. is there one hidden thing? Maybe you want to be a sculptor or raise the
Arabian horses. I've always had a secret ambition. I want to be a dancer. Do you believe it?
Well, now, I'll tell you. Seeing you stand in front of the band, I never saw you move too much.
That's why.
Benny Goodman, it's been a rare moment. You've taken us back years to an America that will never be forgotten as long as, fortunately, we have it all there on tape and on record. And you've given us an awful lot. I want to thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
A genuine pleasure for all of us, too. Well, more of our salute to the big bands right after this word from Chrysler.
Get away.
If you were dancing to the music of the big bands in the late 30s, you almost certainly had to be moving your feet at one time or another to this Benny Goodman classic, Don't Be That Way. Don't Be That Way, Benny Goodman and one of the finest big bands ever assembled. Ahead, more great big band music by Will Bradley, by Larry Clinton and Clyde McCoy. I'll be talking with vocalist Bee Wayne and another of the pioneer big band leaders in a surprise visit. This is Art Ford. I'll be back shortly.
Blindness. Think about it. What does it mean to you? It's something for all of us to think about. To learn more about, to stimulate your own thinking about blindness, send for the booklet, Facts, available free from the American Foundation for the Blind. Write Facts, Post Office Box 111, New York 10011.
This is WNBC-FM New York, 97.1 on your FM dial.
This is Monitor saluting the big band era, and for the next 5 minutes, we'll hear from a couple of the great ones. First, Claude Thornhill with Sunday Kind of Love, featuring vocalist Fran Warren.
Saturday night, I'd like to know if cigarettes on the square.
Hal McIntyre's fine orchestra with Yesterday's. Orchestra of Tommy Dorsey playing Opus Number 1 on Monitor Salute to the Big Band. This is Art Ford, your host for this special program in tribute to the orchestras that have given us all so much pleasure through the years. One of those fine musical organizations was fronted by trombonist Will Bradley, although his partner, drummer Ray McKinley, actually was co-leader. The band's biggest hit was a high-tempo number built around a boogie-woogie beat with Freddie Slack on piano. And it went like this. ¶¶
He plays the best as 8 to the bar. When he jams, it's a ball. He's the daddy of them all. The people gather round when he gets on the stand. Then when he plays, he gets a hand. The rhythm he plays puts the cats in a trance. Nobody there bothers to dance. And when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, oh, beat me, daddy, 8 to the bar. A blink, a blank, a blink, blank, blink, blank, plunking on the keys. A riff, a rap, a riff, rap, riff, rap, riffing out with ease. And when he jams with a bass and guitar, they holler, oh, beat me, daddy, 8 to the bar.
Daddy, 8 to the bar, Will Bradley's orchestra with vocal by drummer and co-leader Ray McKinley and Freddie Slack on piano. Some of the men who became leaders of their own bands had started as arrangers for other orchestras. One of these was Larry Clinton, who was an arranger for Tommy Dorsey before he started his own band. Larry wrote his own theme song. Remember this? Dipsy Doodle, yes sir. Just about as well known as Clinton himself was his girl vocalist, a young lady named Bee Wayne. She was featured on several of the popularized arrangements of classical melodies, which were the Larry Clinton trademark. And the Bee Wayne treatment is best remembered for this adaptation of a Debussy melody. Thank you. My Reverie, Larry Clinton and the orchestra with a vocal by B. Wayne. One of the most distinctive song stylists of the big band era. And since our whole show this evening deals with the great dance orchestras and their personnel, we thought it would be a nice idea to ask B to drop by, which she very graciously agreed to do. B, you started your career as part of a chorus on a radio show. Now, how did you happen to attract the attention of Larry Clinton?
I did a few little solos in the chorus. Every once in a while, like four bars here and there. And he heard one. He truly did. And he called after the program and asked to talk to me and said, I'm making a record next Tuesday. I have a band and I'm making a record next Tuesday. Would you meet me at the studio and do a chorus with me? And I said, well, what? And he said, a song called True Confession. And he sent me the song. He never saw me until the day we got to the studio. How did he know that I could do it or whatever? You know, he took a tremendous chance.
Well, there are intuitive people who just kind of feel something. Maybe he was wrong.
Well, it worked out okay. And then he formed this band. He did a radio show. This was the first band that ever started on the radio. He didn't do one-nighters or do anything like that. We did the show for RCA right here and every week and made records, started to make records. And then the records started to catch on. And I sang My Reverie and Deep Purple and all those.
May I make the point that I think you really started a revolution in popular music because you and Larry Clinton, your boss, were the first people to attempt to take classical melodies and change them over into popular songs. What were some of those records?
Well, we did operas, which made my father very happy because he loved the opera until he heard what I did to them. Martha, and I Dreamt I Dwelt in Marble Halls. And then he, of course, I had very little to do with this art. It was Larry's idea to adapt these things.
But you did them well, and you did them so well that America dug them, as it were.
And he put the words to My Reverie, and I said, never happened, and nobody could sing that song. The words really are not the kind that the delivery boy can sing as he's going through the streets. And I was completely wrong. A nice thing happened about My Reverie, though. When we did it, he got in touch with the Debussy estate in France and told them he wanted to do it. And they would not allow it. I mean, they were adamant about it. There was much correspondence back and forth. Finally, I made a test pressing with his arrangement. And he sent it to them. And they sent back word that if I would do it, and if we would do it just that way, they would give their permission. So we did, and they did. And it became a hit.
And of course, since then, the idea of adapting classical melody to popular lyric is just run-of-the-mill. But then,
you know, wherever I go, people say, oh, you must be still collecting royalties on this thing. And I'd like to say right here and now that when I did My Reverie and Deep Purple and all of these things that became millions sellers, I got $30 for four sides.
It's a good thing you married a millionaire named Andre Bruges. That's all I can say.
And a nice fella, too.
And a wonderful man with a magnificent voice. Now, of course, I have to ask you about today, because people like you, B. Wayne, don't lose touch with what's happening. I know that you're broadcasting regularly in Florida with Andre every day of the week. And you're very much in touch with music today.
I'm doing concerts down south with a lot of the big bands that come through. And waking up a lot of people, and the big band business down there is going right along. Andre and I really don't like the word nostalgia or yesterday. We think that we're now, and we do a show that's as now as can be. He and I. Well, we're still together, very happily so. We've been very lucky.
Maybe that's why you look so young.
Well, thank you.
It sounds
you
so
could
young.
Lie a lot. They'll never know, right?
Not at all. Thank you so much, B. Wayne, for joining us tonight on Monitor. It's been a wonderful little peek into one of the wonderful singers of a great era.
Thank you, Art.
B. Wayne, one of the best of the big band vocalists, and that was in a league that included Peggy Lee, Dinah Shore, and Doris Day, among others. Ahead, we'll have another visitor who made a name for himself in the big band days and is still making music for a living. So stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Yeah.
Art Ford for Monitor, saluting the big bands, past and present. And here's a little of both, a voice from the past that's still heard in the present.
Thank you, Art, and hello, everybody. Lopez speaking to make it authentic, and I played 27 years in the Taft Hotel. They were very pleasant ones.
A radio show about the big band days just about has to include Vincent Lopez, because he and his orchestra did the very first live broadcast by a big band, the old station WJZ in Newark in 1921. Of course, we all remember NOLA, that famous greeting, Lopez speaking, and they're both still in use today in Miami, Florida. And that's where our monitor reporter, Art Merrill, caught up with him, and Vincent Lopez talked about his music and his hobby of numerology.
Vincent, you sometimes think that your signature, hello everybody, Lopez speaking, is kind of old-fashioned.
No, sir, made me $1 million. Why should I say that? Or why should I feel that?
Well, let's not be greedy about it. Let's forget about that part of it. It's still not old-fashioned. Doesn't it date back to the old radio days when people used to identify themselves very much like that?
Well, I was one of the first on television for sustaining television and also television from a hotel. And I still use Hello Everybody Lopez.
Well, sure. It's become your signature.
When I went in the Metropolitan Opera House for the first jazz concert, I said, Hello Everybody Lopez speaking. And if I don't, the people say, you're not Lopez. You didn't say Lopez speaking. I want to let people know that I haven't retired. I've been going very fast.
They certainly know you're in town, Vinny.
And we're playing a lot of club dates. I'm a musician, still a musician. Numerology is a hobby, yeah. And I do that as something to pass time away and help people. I speak sometimes to 500 people, sometimes 150, sometimes 800, there's all different types. But it's great because you help people, and I try to help people, and you do get an idea of how they think and what's wrong with them. I don't believe in fortune telling.
Has your music ever been called outrageous, noisy, that jitterbug and the stuff? Have parents refused to allow their kids to listen to it?
Oh, sure. I've started out with a Dixieland jazz band. I had
right.
a number. I was the rival of the original Dixieland
right.
jazz band.
I mean,
band.
You didn't always play lyrical, sweet, lovely music that
but
everybody...
I always stuck to the melody. Even the good Dixieland jazz band have some type of melody. And jazz, as they called it then, the newspapers came out with a story that the jazz is going to ruin the youth of America. And the swing came in out in 26. That's going to ruin the country.
Yeah.
And then we had rock and roll, and that's going to ruin the country. Good rock and roll, it played nice. I don't mean to blow the people out of the place. It's great. It's got a terrific beat. It's got a sensuous beat. And any kind of music is good if you stick to the melody. And, you know, rhythm is American music.
But you're adding one element there, the melody.
You got to have melody.
You got to have it.
Rock and roll has melody.
Sure it does, but very often you can't discern it.
Because that's the capacity of the musician. An example, about two Saturdays ago, I played at the tennis club in Fort Lauderdale, and then I had a sensational band. I had seven pieces, and it sounded like 10 or 12 men because the harmonies were right, the rhythm was good, and the conception was fine. But you have to have the right kind of men. You have to select men like we did in the old days. In one band of mine, we had Charlie Spivak, Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey, Otis Shaw, Xavier Cugat, who was fourth violin. He was right at the other end. And outstanding. And another fellow, our pianist, Oscar Levan.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
yeah.
a band like that?
Yeah.
But they're all great.
Who were some of the other people that went through the band?
Rudy Valley. Scotty Starr there. Tony Pasta. Glenn Miller. Buddy Morrow. Oh, so many.
Do you think that the day will come when we'll hear the bands coming back? There's a movement. There are people who enjoy them.
When some hotel manager is smart enough to put a band in with the right leader that knows the business, and give it a home there, and if the leader is the right man, he will make a fortune. But you've got to have a home. You've got to have a base. The Taft Hotel was my base. The Pennsylvania Hotel, the St. Regis
right.
Hotel.
Vincent, what is the right leader? In your day, what made you right for the hotel?
Well, a lot of right leaders. You had Tommy Dorsey, was great. Jimmy Dorsey.
Were you appealing to a time when people used to dance coupled? When people used to go out to dance, which they don't do today. They dance by themselves, looking at somebody.
Yes, I'm going to tell you now, because this sounds maybe I'm trying to toot my own horn, which I'm not, because I'm very cool about things like that. I play the guys and dolls. I play a dance at the Ambassador Hotel, which is the toughest place to play. I played one at the tennis club, the Hillcrest Country Club, and they danced from 9 to 1 without getting off. I would have liked them to stop at 12:15 because I play continuous music. But they stayed up there, and they loved to dance. People love to dance. The senior citizens are some of the greatest dancers, but they don't have music to dance to.
Well, how about young people? They like to dance, but
sure they do.
They don't dance coupled as much as they used to.
They're changing.
They are.
Oh, yes. They're changing.
They're getting back some of the more basic emotions that
they're beginning to know, but you still got to have that base of operation. Well, I'll give you a good example. A year ago now, I started at the Lehigh place in Lehigh, Florida, the Matador Room. And they were closed at April, May, June, July, or every year. They never had any band. So a man by the Mr. Lavaca and Mr. Powell says, how about coming in this room? I said, I like the room. I'll go in for you, and I think I can do it for you. I went in there, and the room used to be packed with dancers, day in and day out, a very seldom a bad day or a bad night. And I stayed there 3 months, not 2 weeks.
But were there young people there?
Both.
Both.
And after I was there, then they had Art Mooney, and then they had Clyde McCoy, and then the Butterfield, and Guy Lombardo. They had one band after another, but they never had that before until I started them.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a starting point. Somebody's got to do it. You have to please the youth as well as the seniors, and they got to like the music.
Well, all we can say is that Vincent Lopez is alive and well in Miami and still fighting the world and still doing his job as a musician, still playing. Vincent Lopez.
It's good to hear Lopez speaking and playing as he has for the past 50 years. One of the best of the so-called sweet bands was led by a left-handed violin player named Johnny Long. And the best-remembered work of that orchestra was its Glee Club swinging version of this one. Shanty and old shanty time. Johnny Long of the orchestra adding their contribution to Monitor Salute to the Big Band. Incidentally, I'd like to remind you that Monitor will be presenting other special programs of music, including an evening of Nashville country music
and the 20th annual Newport Jazz Festival. We'll keep you posted on the dates as the time draws near. In the half hour ahead, we'll be offering a special tribute to one of the all-time greats among the big bands, the fine Glenn Miller Air Force Band of World War II. This is Art Ford, inviting you to stay tuned.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. The bait-and-switch gimmick is still used by some hack anglers who evidently have no better advertising lure. The Better Business Bureau wants you to recognize bait-and-switch tactics when you encounter them, so you won't get hooked. Now, here's how it works. You see a product that you want, and it's advertised at a bargain price. Well, you rush to the store to buy it, but the item has already been sold out, or the salesman suggests that you wouldn't be happy with such a cheap product. He points up its shortcomings, and he attempts to sell you a more expensive item. Now, while trying to sell a more expensive item is an acceptable selling technique, disparagement of an advertised product in order to sell a more expensive one is not. The refusal of a dealer to sell an advertised item at his advertised price is grounds for complaint. Don't bite. Call your Better Business Bureau.
This is WNBC-FM 97.1 in New York.